We're talking about the future of biodigesters in Wisconsin. Turning manure into money. That's a phrase plucked from headlines. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kahn. Thanks for being here. Microsoft claimed recently it had partnered on the first solar-powered biodigester in the world, located in Dubai. Closer to home, though, there's a bill in the legislature to give grants for establishing regional biodigesters. Also, federal legislation in the Agriculture Environmental Stewardship Act, reintroduced last summer, would provide tax incentives to farmers to invest in biogas technology. So what questions do you have about how animal and food waste can be converted into energy? Should there be more incentives to incorporate biodigesters into our renewable energy mix? 800-642-1234. Jessica Niekratz is board chair of the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition. That's a trade group promoting renewable natural gas digester facilities. Jessica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, school us first, please, if you will. Explain how biodigestion works to eventually create biogas as an energy source.
Sure. You can think about digesters really like a giant stomach. We are essentially replicating what happens inside of the cow. The manure is brought into a facility, either underground or by truck. It's then processed for an average of about 25 days, during which the same kind of bacteria and bugs that live in our stomachs are inside those tanks. And as they process and break down the manure, methane is created. The methane floats up to the top of the tank, is siphoned off, and then can be used for multiple outsources. Electricity has been the historical use, and renewable natural gas is really the way that these projects are penciling out these days.
So methane, the main component of natural gas, can be, you say, produced by this bioreaction that comes from cow dung or food scraps or other organic matter. Is that right?
That is true. Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I vividly recall seeing one of the early biodigesters installed in, you know, as part of a community college project in Iowa, and that was over 20 years ago. And it was touch and go on the technology, not efficient for the farmer, very, very expensive, involved a huge kick of a government grant to make the thing. Has the technology come along and improved the process of this? You know, how efficient is the system today?
These are delicate systems. We're dealing with waste, with, you know, animal waste, and it has a corrosive element to it. Hydrogen sulfide is one of the byproducts of manure, and it likes to eat stainless steel for breakfast. So every facility needs a very rigorous maintenance plan, people who understand how these systems operate, and you know, still also know how to pivot and respond when things don't go according to plan. We have learned a lot in those years, however, and, you know, systems have been redesigned to be more efficient. And, you know, just the use of the methane coming off, at this point now has completely different technology that's being used. No longer the electric generators have sort of been of years past, and now these renewable natural gas skids are the option where we filter out all those contaminants.
Talking with Jessica Niekratz, who's board chair for the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition. She's president of Clean Fuel Partners as we talk about the future of biodigesters. You can join in. Are you a farmer operating one? What made you explore that as an option? How does it work on your farm operation? 800-642-1234. Jessica, you need a large cattle operation to make the system work. You need land. Will biodigesters only work for CAFOs, for large feeding lots where you have a lot of cow input? Or can small and mid-sized farmers still see these as viable on their farms?
Yeah, pardon me. And to this point, the industry has looked at farming operations of 3,000 animal units or more. That has been the easiest approach to setting up these facilities. What we're doing with a legislative effort that has not yet been introduced is to increase access to pipeline, to the natural gas pipeline, so that we are able to site multiple farms to one processing facility and then use, collect that gas as a whole, sort of as the community digesters have been, and then create those projects accordingly.
Oh, so you've got the manure digester and you're producing biogas, but how do you get it off the farm? What about that pipeline infrastructure to move the energy?
Yeah, the way that these projects pencil out is by working with the state of California and their low carbon fuel standard. And what California has said is any organization, company that is using gas or diesel needs to offset their use of that by purchasing credits. Turns out that CalMNR has a very, very low carbon intensity score. And let's say a gallon of diesel has a carbon intensity score of plus 90 to 100. CalMNR has a negative carbon intensity score ranging anywhere from 200 to 400. Mm-hmm. So these credits are fueling our use. And this is an introduction to your question in that a lot of how far we need to transport this gas influences that carbon intensity score. So greater access to the pipeline will allow more projects to pencil out in a beneficial financial way.
Okay, so Renew Wisconsin says 34 biodigester farm operations exist in Wisconsin. Where do you see this headed? I mean, is that number correct?
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. A lot of these projects have switched from electricity because of the power purchase agreements expiring to the renewable natural gas. And in all honesty, it's a really good opportunity for investors at this point because these projects are making a lot more than they did with electricity due to both the federal RINs available and the low carbon fuel standard out in California.
Well, looking at the economics, can you really make enough money off the energy they produce to run a system so it pays for itself? Can you explain the economics here?
I can do that on sort of a high level loose basis, but essentially farms, we're having outside money from outside the state coming in to fund these projects. I would bet my bottom dollar that any farm with 3,000 animal units or more has been contacted by a developer regarding these projects. They pencil out very well where the payback is within 2 to 4 years.
Talking with Jessica Niekras, chair of the Independent Trade Association, the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition. Are you a dairy farmer using a methane digester? What can you share about your system, the resulting biogas, if that is what is being produced? Do you think biodigesters are a step in the right direction, or is the technology coming up short to address the climate crisis, missing the mark? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're at the intersection of biogas, dairy producers, and what the future holds for biodigesters and the transition away from fossil fuels. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As dairy farmers have an eye on sustainability, incorporating biodigesters onto the farm may help in the transition to renewables and provide an additional revenue stream. But there are barriers like the high upstart costs, only economically feasible for larger farms. With lots of cows and large manure tanks. Are you a farmer who operates a biodigester? What have you learned through your system? Should the state and federal incentives build up more for biodigesters in our state? Join in 800-642-1234. Jessica Niekras chairs the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition and is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's take a call now. George in Monroe. Hi, George.
Hi. I have two quick questions. Once this gas is created, how does it get transported into where, you know, off the farm and into where it's usable for the public? And the second question is, would this, if these are built in bulk, is that going to help the reduce the amount of nitrates that get spread on the soil from just the manure being spread over and over again from these factory farms?
Having a little technical difficulty. I can't seem to hear Jessica.
Oh, dear.
Okay, are you there, Jessica?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, if you could start again. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing.
Okay. George, the gas is purified on this at the processing site and then goes into some a truck, at which point it is then taken to a facility that will measure the purification of the gas. And if it meets the pipeline quality, it is then injected. And then with your other question about nutrients, the one thing that digesters can do is they can create the option for separating nutrients. So we can take the contents of those tanks and separate them into a liquid and a solid portion. The liquid portion is greatly reduced in nutrients. And for whatever reason that Mother Nature's created, the larger portion binds to those solids. So what it allows us to do is take those solids from areas where they are not really welcomed to areas where they can be used. Those solids can be used for other possibilities too, other than being spread or as a fertilizer. They can be recycled as cow bedding. We can use it to be the base of a compost pile. And I've even seen organizations using it to create packaging.
All right. Thank you so much, George, for that call. So, you know, Jessica, how do biodigesters stack up against wind and solar, which seem to be out front with their technology as a cleaner source of energy than farm manure?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're a dairy state. So, you know, that's a $45 billion of our state economy. And, you know, I'll agree with you. Wind and solar definitely, you know, are less expensive, but we've got a challenge, you know, to deal with in the amount of manure that our state creates. So we really see this as digesters being able to support both the dairy industry while creating renewable energy and also being able to help reduce the impact on surface and groundwater.
So, you know, going back to legislation, and you said you have legislative goals tied to biodigestion efforts, what can the state government do to help biogas production efforts? And what is the role of state and federal government here?
Yeah, well, I can tell you specifically about what we're up to. We have an effort that we've been working on for about a year with Representative Gary Tauchin, and it's called the Wisconsin Agriculture, Carbon, Energy, and Water Legislative Effort. And what we're trying to do here is create a voluntary, market-driven opportunity for animal ag farmers where they would be rewarded for well, it rewarded isn't exactly the right. What we would do is carbon credits would be generated for farms who choose to participate for any practices that either sequester carbon in the soil or capture greenhouse gas.
So what is the status of legislation like that, and what are you optimistic that it will get through?
Yeah, we are very excited. So 7 years ago, this never would have been a conversation. And like everything, you know, we start to learn more, you know, we can see the impact of facilities on local waters. You know, Dane County built two community digesters in the hope of, you know, reducing runoff into the chain of lakes, and they've seen a lot of positive impacts. So we're you know, that's the hope on that. And you know, this is what I like to say, our farms have followed their nutrient management plans set forth by the DNR, and we are also facing water quality challenges. So as a collective, as a state, through private-public partnerships, we'll find an answer on how to reduce any further impact.
If you're just joining us, we have Jessica Niekraz, board chair for the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition, promoting renewable natural gas digester facilities. You can join in on biodigesters, what you see going on in your community converting animal and food waste. 800-642-1234. Jessica, who in Wisconsin is regulating these biodigesters? Does it come under the auspices of the DNR? Like, where is the regulation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kate, it is the Department of Natural Resources. And those rules were created, the late 00s, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And as we, you know, we have permits, we are, you know, we are checked. We do a lot of reporting for that. So these are very regulated facilities.
So going back to the economics for a moment, you know, UW Oshkosh Foundation filed for bankruptcy in 2017. And part of that debt they got into was because they had sunk a ton of money into two biodigesters. You know, who at the end of the day should be financing biodigesters? Who should take on the risk and assume the overhead costs?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I'm an expert for that, but I'll give you my two cents. In the case of the university, I would, you know, the reason that these facilities fail is because we don't have people who understand how they work. So more education, you know, that's more education for operators, for, you know, actually it's mostly operators. It's very hard to find people who want to do the job, because it's messy. It's a tough job. They work outside in the winter and they go down into pits to fix pumps. And, you know, it's not for everyone.
What about the smell? That the odor has been also a concern. Also, what do you do with the byproduct, the slurry from these digesters?
Sure. Odor is addressed through the processing, through the digestion process. I was at on a panel yesterday with an engineer, Steve Dvorak, and he was explaining how the bugs actually break down a lot of the things that create the odor in the digestion process. So when it comes out the other side, I wouldn't say you're going to dab it behind your ears and go out on a date, but it is not the same as raw manure at all. To the point that I have stood at some farm pits and taken a big deep breath and been okay. So the digestion process really does help reduce odor. When the farm spread a digested product, it is it's not the same as, you know, when you drive past a farm that just spread.
Sure. we heard from Tim and Madison called, couldn't stay with us. Tim wants to know why Microsoft is building the biodigester in Dubai and not the United States. And this was because, you know, we saw the reports from that Microsoft was, you know, putting this project together on the first solar-powered biodigester. What do you know there?
And not more than what your staff shared with me. I've read the article. So the sun shines a lot more in Dubai. So that would be my two cents. We do have a local project in the state in Middleton that has just moved over to renewable natural gas, and they added solar panels and some battery storage on the facility. So it's an option. It's not, it's part of a solution and not, I don't think, an entire option. The other piece of that I would say is that will, you know, adding those renewable sources to a project will help lower the carbon intensity score and make it a more attractive project.
Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kate. It was my pleasure.
Jessica Niekras, chair of the Wisconsin Biomass Energy Coalition. News update is next on the Ideas Network.